Hey, welcome to the Maroon PR Podcast. Spin is a four-letter word. We like to start our pod by explaining why we named it this way. Well, if you're a PR pro and you hear the word spin or spin doctor, we hate it. And we don't like it because it kind of implies that you're lying or you're being dishonest or you're stretching the truth. What we do is communicate. What we do is help our clients message and help them tell stories. So when you hear the word spin, it makes our skin crawl, and hence the name of the podcast. And on our podcast, we're going to be diving into all things public relations, media. We're going to have honest and open conversations. We discuss the good and the bad. And we're going to be talking to some of the most interesting people around, from fellow PR pros to journalists and those that are actually under the spotlight and being interviewed. So our goal is to have this honest, informative conversations. We hope you enjoy it. And if you like what you hear, please, subscribe, follow us on social media, and give us your honest feedback. We want to get better as well. So today on Spin is a Four-Letter Word, we're going to be speaking to one of my favorite local journalists, Holden Willen with the BBJ. He covers money, public companies, politics, and more. And he has some really terrific insights. A lot of it was spurred by us following him on Twitter and seeing his opinions there. But before we talk to Holden, it's really interesting. The things we touch on today, I think, are relevant for all PR pros. It's about shrinking newsrooms. It's about a competitive landscape in the media. It's about PR pros and their approach to media. And as much as our world changes, it stays the same, right? It comes down to research, not being lazy, putting your best foot forward, being ethical and honorable and whatnot.
Exactly. And you always say this, John, is being true to who you are and what your company is. And I think that that is something that I think, Holden holds true as well. I'm really interested in also hearing from Holden as working for a publication that is a hard-charging, smaller publication, and how that fits into the whole landscape, and what what he as a journalist has to do to make it work for their publication.
No, for sure, and it's interesting, right? I mean, we always harp, and our little tagline here at Maroon PR is we drive growth through relationships, and it can sound cliche if it wasn't so true. Relationships, and if you are honorable and bring value to the media relationships as a PR professional, that will come back and benefit you in the end. And it's just the way in which you live your life versus just blasting out things. Holden touches on some really interesting things, and we'll get to him in a second, but the idea of just quality versus quantity is a really big thing in our world, and it's important that we live by that. So, relationships matter. Really understanding the stress on the other end of the line, not just on our end, but on the other end, understanding that journalists have a lot more to do these days than they did last year. They're covering multiple beats. They're writing multiple stories. They're hearing from a dozen people like us at any given time. We tend to live in a vacuum if we're not careful.
As always, it's important for a PR person to put themselves in the reporter's shoes, and knowing that they're juggling a ton of things and that they're getting a million pitches. Some of them are better than others. And so it's important to put yourself in their shoes and know that they you're trying to make their job a little bit easier, and you have a better chance of getting your topic covered.
For sure. Well, without further ado, let's hear right from the horse's mouth. Hey, Holden, first of all, thanks so much for joining us today. We're just starting out this podcast. Spin is a four-letter word. We're excited to get it going, and thrilled that you are one of our first guests on the pod. So thank you for being here today, and we're going to jump in. I was telling Matt earlier, when we're thinking of who we'd love to have on one of our first pods, it was you right away for a few reasons. One, you're one of the most well-respected journalists in town. And two, you're not afraid to offer up some opinions. We see you on Twitter. We follow you on Twitter when it comes to the world of public relations and journalism. And we'll get to that in a second. But Holden, the first thing I want to ask you about is something that we talk about quite regularly, and it's the ever-evolving, sort of shrinking newsrooms, especially in pandemic times and even predating that. It's a little more challenging from our perspective when we reach out to media members because everyone's wearing a lot of different hats that they didn't wear long ago. How much has the shrinking or changing newsroom impacted you and the team at the BBJ?
First of all, thanks for the nice things you said about me earlier and for having me on. I appreciate that. I don't know if it's for better or worse that I'm opinionated on Twitter at times.
Always
but,
better.
Regarding the shrinking newsroom, that's something that, you know, began even before the pandemic, and the pandemic has just kind of exacerbated the impacts. You know, newspapers, media companies have been shrinking newsrooms for years. At least in Baltimore, at the BBJ, we haven't been shrinking, at least in the time that I've been there. We just don't have a huge staff as it is. We've always all worn a lot of hats, but definitely during the pandemic, it's been a challenge because, you know, we're all trying to pump out as many stories as we can, but we are also all doing a lot of other things, you know, trying to, you know, me, I'm trying to keep up with social media. That's been sort of something that I was trying to do before the pandemic, was increase my social media presence. And then especially some of our editors, they're not just editing stories. They're also writing some stories on their own. They're also having to put together all these various, you know, special publications. They also have, you know, a lot of business meetings. For me as a reporter, I mean, you know, we're also all, you know, dealing with things at home too, and just the stress of the pandemic as well. It's been a stressful year. So it is definitely a lot of different hats that we wear, and it just kind of, you know, we do the best we can to time manage, but I don't know if that helps, but you know, it definitely is a challenge. I'll say that.
Holden, do you feel like it's it hampered the way or the way that some of these outlets have covered the issues of the day, or has it made it a more competitive landscape for smaller publications that, you know, aren't the mainstream or the traditional mainstream publications that are out there?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. Here in Baltimore, I mean, you know, at the BBJ, we try to kind of think about what our niche is or what our space is. Obviously, we're competing with, you know, the Baltimore Sun, the Daily Record, and you know, even some of the, you know, radio and TV stations. But we're trying not to compete with them on everything. You know, we see ourselves as the, you know, business, the source for business news here in Baltimore and quite frankly most of Maryland. So we're not trying to cover literally everything. We're trying to provide, you know, the best, the news that business people need to run their business the best they can. And, you know, so in that regard, you know, we're not necessarily competing with the Sun on crime stories. We're not necessarily competing with the Daily Record on, you know, we cover law, but, you know, I would say that they're, you know, the legal publication.
Sure.
So we're not trying to compete with everybody on everything. It's trying to find where we can dominate, and I think we're doing a good job of it. The other thing I'll say is, I don't know, the pandemic has definitely made it harder because, just, you know, of what we were talking about earlier, we have so many different responsibilities and things that we're dealing with right now. But I'd say that the biggest factor on, you know, just our ability to get content out or focus on things is the 24/7 news cycle. I mean, you know, we try to think of, you know, 9 to 5 hours Monday through Friday, but quite frankly, if something breaks at 9 p.m. on a, you know, Friday night, I'm gonna write about it.
Right.
Or, you know, sometimes things happen on the weekend, we're not gonna like just wait and not write about it. But at the same time, that 24/7 news cycle makes it harder for us to kind of, or at least I find myself challenged, you know, trying to do some of those more in-depth stories that I'd like to do sometimes. Where there is definitely a pressure that every journalist faces to, you know, just get content out, obviously make sure it's accurate and worthwhile for the readers, But, you know, sometimes I'd like to be able to go more in depth with things than I'm able to. And that's, I think, something that we're all challenged with as reporters these days.
Yeah, for sure, Holden. This is John. I think it's interesting because it's a good segue into something that you've touched on occasion in the past. And that's when people in our industry, in the PR world, get a little lazy or don't do their research or maybe send journalists something that is just not something they cover and don't understand your primary focus or your beat and do the research. And look, we've been guilty of it too. We are not above reproach by any means here at Maroon PR. But, you know, you touch on that quite often. I mean, knowing your crazy schedule, knowing a 24-hour news cycle, knowing what you're trying to cover here, what's a little bit of advice that you would give to any public relations pro that's trying to reach not just you, but any media person out there?
Yeah. So I'm really glad you asked about that, because obviously, like you said, that's I touch on a lot of these things on my Twitter account all the time.
Yeah, we've seen it.
I would say, first of all, that some of my most glorious and happiest times as a reporter are when I have great experiences with PR people and when the relationship is good. The most frustrating, or the times where I get the most frustrated, are a bad PR experience. It can ruin my day. I try not to let it, but that is honestly sometimes how I feel. But you know, what makes the relationship good or what works is, you kind of touched on this, is know who you're reaching out to and why you're reaching out to them. You know, I don't know if you guys do this, but I know that there's certainly PR agencies or PR people, you know, who have, I don't know if it's a goal that's set by their boss or whatever, but, you know, they need to reach out to as many reporters as possible. And so they just blast, you know, an email to everybody, regardless of what you cover or what newspaper you're at. Well, for us here in Baltimore, you know, we're only covering things if it's a business issue related to business in Baltimore or, you know, greater Baltimore. And, you know, depending on how big the issue is, you know, we would look more broadly in Maryland if it affects, you know, business as a whole in the state. If you're sending me something about, you know, a new tech gadget created by a firm in Michigan, like, why do I care about that? Mm-hmm. Unless it's, you know, going to have a direct impact on a, you know, unless like a company here in Maryland is helping manufacture it or something. I don't know. I get a lot of those kind of emails. Or, you know what I cover. I mean, we only have 4 reporters at the BBJ. So it's not like you have to do a lot of research to figure out, you know, what does each person cover. It's pretty clear, because we also say it on our website. Like, I cover banking and public companies and some politics. Melody, another one of our reporters, covers commercial real estate and economic development. We have a reporter who covers restaurants, hospitality, and professional sports stuff. And then we have another reporter who covers health, tech, and cannabis. Like, it's not that complicated. All you have to do is go on our website. There's only 4 of us, and you can figure it out. So it's really frustrating when I get, like, you know, this hospital CEO is, you know, doing this initiative. Like, it may be an interesting story, but, like, I then have to take the time to send it to the appropriate reporter. Or sometimes if we're just communicating over email, there could be like 5 or 6 emails. And in that time, I'm wasting time that I should be using reporting on other stories. And at the same time, that PR person is wasting time because they could have already been connected with the appropriate reporter, getting this interview done and the story out there, instead of having to, you know, go back and forth on an endless email chain with me just to figure out who the right person to contact is. So those are just a couple of examples. I don't know if you want more.
Those are really good ones, because, you know, as the leader of an agency, I think it comes down to how you teach your younger people, right? And what mandates you give them. And, you know, what we try to do, it doesn't mean it avoids all errors or all missteps, but what you try to do is teach them, especially here, is do your research. Make sure you know we're not about blasting anything out there. And the vast majority of our clients are regional in nature. So we also don't want to browbeat people like yourselves, even if you are the right contact. No is fine. No is a no. Like, don't just keep coming back because there's going to be another thing that we want you to consider in the next 2 weeks or so. So there's a lot of valuable lessons to be learned. I think sometimes this industry, and if you allow it, can be highly pressurized and can be very stressful. And you got to work through that as the leader of your agency. You got to set realistic expectations for your clients because the shit runs downhill, right? And so,
yeah,
I think that's just really important. That's really good to hear. I know, Maddie, you want to ask about the other thing that I know gets under Holden's skin.
Absolutely, and kind of goes back to one of the questions we talked about earlier is with a publication like yours, but media not crediting anyway. The other media outlets that are out there. If you guys break a story or beat someone on a story and you're not credited properly, maybe they credit somebody else first that also wrote it. Tell us about that and how you feel about that.
Yes. I mean, to me, there's multiple factors that go into the way I feel about it. I absolutely think or feel strongly that, you know, it is important to credit a publication if they break a story. Now, obviously there's times where something is breaking and we all are kind of chasing it at the same time. And, you know, whoever gets it first, like, you know, if we're all chasing something at the same time, like, I don't think you necessarily need to go like, well, look at the timestamps and see, well, who got it, you know, first. But clearly there are times where, you know, we'll publish a story or someone else will publish a story and you really only learn about that story through the fact that it was reported. And when that happens, you've got to give the first credit. Like, there's just no excuse, because I think it's a professional common courtesy thing. I think there's a journalism ethics viewpoint to it. You know, our goal is to be as accurate and informative to the reader as we can be, and I think it's fair for the reader to know where that information is coming from, because there's a part of me that feels like you're misleading the reader and the public if you're kind of taking full credit for something yourself that you didn't do. Also, one of the reasons why I personally always get frustrated by it is, you know, as I said earlier, the Baltimore Business Journal, we work our butts off, and we're a small publication. You know, we have 4 full-time reporters and some editors who also do some writing as well. We don't have a huge staff, and we're really all punching way above our weight. And this time, I mean, it's always, you know, journalism is always a frustrating industry, or stressful industry, but it's been even more, you know, tough for everyone during the last year. Mm-hmm. And so it's really, you know, there is something to be said about, you know, when we break a story, we deserve credit for it, because people deserve to know that, you know, this publication, the Baltimore Business Journal, did its work and got this story that is obviously a big enough story that you as a different publication want to go and report on it as well. So it's just, again, there's like a journalism ethics viewpoint to it and a professional common courtesy. And, you know, I don't want to say it's plagiarism when another publication goes and, you know, takes a story, because sure, I'm sure they go through the appropriate channels and, you know, confirm things on their own and do some of their own reporting. You've got to give that credit at least somewhere in the story. I mean, preferably near the top. But, you know, I've seen recently maybe competitor publications will put a line at the very bottom, and that's right. Better than nothing.
Right. Well, you know, Holden, it's interesting because that premise of that the way that's done, that's old as journalism itself. I mean, I've seen that for decades, that where people appropriately credit the person who broke the story. In fact, recently I saw you did that. You gave credit to the Baltimore Brew, the website, the Baltimore Brew, that really was on top of the story about the Mosby investigation. And you went out of your way to say, hey, look, these guys have been on top of this sort of thing. And I think that's just common courtesy to your point. But that Brew thing brings up another question. And I guess it circles back a little bit to that 24-hour news cycle and so many other people, quote, covering news. As newsrooms got smaller and even as publications seem to go away, a whole nother genre of journalists began to take root. And, you know, whether it's bloggers, whether it's, you know, people that have their own websites, like, you know, Kevin Lynch runs one, southbemore.com, that covers a lot of the Port Covington stuff. that's sort of, and then we mentioned the Brew earlier. That's kind of like, it's not really a publication, but it's got a lot of credible media members covering things in and around Baltimore. How challenging is that for you guys, knowing that there's these other outlets that are out there, that some are credible, some aren't, some break news, some don't? How much of do you pay attention to these new, kind of lack for lack of a better word, new outlets?
I mean, I certainly consider the Brew to be just as much of a legitimate news outlet as, you know, the Sun or the Daily Record. I think it gets back to, and I would say this about any online publication or blog or whatever, it gets back to what I said earlier about, you know, we try to think of what our space is, and at the Baltimore Business Journal, what our space is and what we're trying to do. We can't compete with everybody on everything. It's just impossible. So, you know, we're trying to be the best business news publication that we can be, and, you know, provide that news that business people can use to make their business as great as it can be. So a lot of what the Brew reports is important for the city, but it's, you know, they're not necessarily reporting just business news all the time. So, you know, I certainly pay attention to what all of the various outlets are doing, because I think that's just part of my job of being informed. But I don't necessarily feel pressure to like compete with all of them. I mean, another one would be, you know, Maryland Matters. They're only online, but they're, you know, one of the preeminent Maryland politics outlets in the state. If I tried to compete with them on every politics story, I'd go crazy.
Right.
They're definitely, you know, they're in Annapolis. They're covering the stuff super closely. All I can do is cover, you know, Annapolis the best I can from Baltimore, and only focus on the business issues that are happening in the state legislature. So, you know, I pay attention to all of it, but I don't, at least from speaking for myself, I don't go crazy trying to compete with all of them on every story. But certainly, you know, I don't want the Brew breaking like a big Under Armour story
Right.
You know, that's just kind of how I feel about it.
Sure.
Protect your beat. Hey, Holden, before we let you go, I know Matt has one last question he wants to get your feedback on.
Yeah, in general, we probably wouldn't be doing our job here if we didn't leave something for some of the younger folks out there. And I know there's a lot of young journalists out there that are trying to break in. I would love to get your take on advice for them. And I'm guessing that our discussion about multiple smaller outlets in some ways may help a young journalist find a gig that would make some sense. Would love to hear your advice.
I started at a small newspaper in Montgomery County. That was my first job, you know, fewer than 10,000. I'm trying to think of what the circulation was. It was definitely smaller than 10,000, you know, just focused in Rockville, but we covered, you know, some Germantown and Gaithersburg and other little areas of Montgomery County. That was an old newspaper. So, you know, it's not like one of these websites that's only just come up in the last, you know, few years. But certainly having more outlets out there is good for, you know, job opportunities for young people coming out of college. I think it's a good way to get a start. I know some of these, you know, outlets have, you know, kind of specialties or things that they focus on. So you may want to think about, you know, how does this fit into what your career plan is? You know, if you're planning on working for, you know, a large daily, maybe you want to, you know, especially like I know with the Sun, you know, it sometimes helps if you want to start at like a smaller Tribune paper and then move your way through that company. You just kind of have to think about what kind of career arc you want a little bit. But I mean, certainly as many job opportunities out there are great, because we're losing papers across the country.
Right.
So if you can get a job at an online outlet, go for it. The biggest advice that I would have for a young journalist is read as much as you can, because you're going to get better. Your writing is going to improve if you read more, reading other people's writing. And it also just helps you stay informed. Like I said earlier, I don't try to compete with everybody on everything, but I'm certainly reading everything. And that just helps inform me when I'm reporting on other stories, because I know what's going on. My biggest piece of advice would be to read, and just never move away from your morals or your ethics. I think it's really easy. And then that kind of gets to, you know, something that's been underlying, I think, everything I've talked about when it comes to, you know, how you work with PR people, the issue of, you know, giving first credit to other publications. I have very strong morals and ethics, and I'm not going to sway from them. And that maybe gets me into issues sometimes, because people will try and make you sway away from your morals and ethics, but just stick by them, because if that's how you're going to, you know, be true to yourself. And yeah, I mean, I think those are my biggest pieces of advice. There's obviously a lot of little nuanced things, but you know, that can get into it. If one of these people ever gets hired at the DBJ, I'd be happy to tutor them.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Ullman, honestly, those that last piece about sticking to knowing who you are, sticking to your morals, being ethical, that benefits anybody in any walk of life. And I think that's really sound advice. Holden Willen, the Baldwin Business Journal, really appreciate you spending a few minutes of your time and sharing some of your insights. It was great having you on, and we were grateful for your time.
Thanks, John, for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Spin is a Four-Letter Word. If you like what you hear today, please subscribe. Send us your feedback, too. We want this to be interesting for everybody. And give us a follow, @MaroonPR on Twitter and LinkedIn.